Mr. Hunter, Reel 4. What are your memories of that very severe wind of 39-40?
Yes, we were really snowed in at West Leighton. The dispatch riders from Cutwick Camp were taken off the road. The road was in such a bad state. I was sent from West Leighton to Gatherley Castle on a motorcycle. And when I arrived at Gatherley Castle, I was told I was the only one on the road. Get back. So back I went to West Leighton.
Were you still in tents at that time?
No, we were building huts. Yes. The huts were supplied by shepherds of Darlington. They were delivered to each searchlight site, and us being the Royal Engineers, we erected our own.
So you had some reasonable shelter during that period?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, we weren't in tents by any means. No. Huts with the small stoves in the centre.
Were you cut off for any length of time due to the snow?
No, we weren't really cut off, because being on the year 66, they kept the road reasonably clear. There was lots of traffic up and down there even at that time. No, we weren't really cut off. Cut off perhaps to the isolated sites. One site at High Feldham we had to do away with. It was too far and too rough to get to.
Every morning, did you have PT to keep you fit? Or?
Sorry?
Did you have PT to keep you fit? Did the exercises to keep you fit?
Odd times we used to, yes. But only being a small unit, say, gun sights and searchlight sites and the troop headquarters, we just got on with our duties.
Do you have any recall of that heavy raid by the Germans on the 15th of August? Do you recall being alerted for it?
Just to follow for the searchlights to follow up the but we were nowhere near, really.
No, they didn't get near you?
No, not in North Yorkshire, no. No.
Now, we arrived at the end of the last take when you'd moved to the Bovers. And you went to Buxton, was it, you said?
Went to Buxton, yes. That's right. We went to Buxton. Well, my daughter's typed this out.
So you went in. Anyway, you arrived at Buxton. What were the conditions like down there? Were you going into a permanent camp?
Lots of snow there. But we never seemed to get wet. The snow was dry. Funnily enough, being off the coast, I think, had a lot to do with it.
And you're moving now from searchlights to Bopers. So you'd have to undertake some training, presumably.
That's right. We went to train at Buxton, yes. And we were billeted in, I think it's been demolished now, the old Empire Theatre, which for some reason I think had been empty for years. But this regiment was there that we joined to train.
What regiment was this?
I think it stays there.
238?
Yes.
238 light anti-aircraft?
Yes.
And this was training. What kind of training was it that you were getting?
Training on the assembling and dismantling of the guns, and then mobile training, running around the countryside, towing them about, yes. But on the way down, we left Cutwick with an officer in charge of the convoy. This was the first convoy we'd ever taken place in. We got so far down the road, and someone realised that instead of turning right at the Selby Fork, we turned left and were heading towards Selby instead of. So the whole convoy was to turn round.
P- Presumably these were the days when there weren't any roadsides, were they? They'd taken the roadsides down.
They'd taken them down, yes, yes, yeah.
Which would make it difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we have a look at the Beaufort's gun? Could you describe it to me?
Beaufort's gun? Yes, well, there were two types, really. One on four wheels, to be towed, weighing about 2.5 tons, with I've forgotten the crew, about four of a crew on a Beaufort's gun, I think. And they could fire 120 to the minute, providing you could get them into the breach quick enough.
I think it was a Swedish gun, wasn't it? It was a Scandinavian.
Swedish, yes. Beaufort's, B-O-F-O-R-S, I think, yes.
And very efficient, were they?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think they're around about, inches, I think around about 2 inches diameter bow.
And the crew, how many did you say?
Well, four to man the gun, I would think, yes, four to man the gun, yes. And of course one was stayed on the, four to man the gun, yeah.
What was your particular training?
Well, I was on a motorcycle a long time, and then you took your part on the gun. Yes.
Do you remember how it operated and how your particular role when you were on the gun?
Well, it operated, and it was well, it traversed wherever you wanted it, you know.
And as you're saying, it was a light weapon, wasn't it? What kind of range did it have? Have you any idea?
No, I don't know. No, don't know the range. No.
Was it a purely anti-aircraft gun? It couldn't be used in any other
way. Light anti-aircraft. Yes. That was the one towed by a truck. Now we also had SPs, self-propelled, which they were. A Morris commercial chassis and engine with the gun mounted on it. And the crew sat across, four across, in front of the gun, and they were in action immediately. All they had to do was off the seat and come into action with the gun behind them. Yes.
Were you now in the Royal Artillery? Was
this the Royal Artillery? Our artillery then, yes, that's right.
How did you feel about changing from searchlights to anti-aircraft guns and engineers to artillery?
Well, it didn't really matter. No, it didn't really matter. Because I think I'm right in saying that radar and all the modern equipment was coming along, and I don't think searchlights were really necessary, shall we say. Well, the sound locators weren't in any case.
How did the people of the Buxton area compare with those that you'd left?
Well, we weren't in touch with the people of Buxton, really, because as far as I remember, the hotel was about a mile out of Buxton, and the only time we came into Buxton was perhaps to shop or have a drink or whatever, and that was it. We walked from Buxton on the Sunday morning over to the Cat and Fiddle Pass, which was a decent walk up. That's towards Sheffield, I think, or towards Macclesfield.
What day did you move to Buxton?
Oh, is it on there?
January 42?
Yeah.
42.
Yes.
How long was the training period?
6 weeks, I think. Then we moved to Stiffkey in Norfolk to do the firing practice. We fired at a sleeve towed by a light aircraft. And we did rather well down there, I think, yes.
Must just been hurrying into the aircraft landing, hoping that you would hit the sleeve.
And oh, they were a good distance apart. That was with tracer bullets. We knew exactly where. Yeah.
We're looking forward to being in action with the Bowman gun.
Oh yes, yes. I was always looking forward to moving on. I was perhaps a mobile person. I always look forward to the next move, which we had plenty of.
How was the unit constituted? How many Bowmen gun to a regiment? Well, how many detachments to a regiment?
There were. There were four troops to a battery. Four troops to a battery.
And how many guns per troop?
Six guns sometimes per troop, yes, that's right. Yes.
And presumably you were scattered around a given area?
That's right, yes. We moved from. When we got fully mobile, we moved from Norfolk in the east, I think I said, right through to Newquay in the west, Cornwall.
Were you attached to one particular battery?
Yes, I was all the time, yes.
Do you remember the number of it?
366, light anti-aircraft, 112, light anti-aircraft regiment, 366. Light anti-aircraft battery.
How long did your training, the shooting training last? Banging away this thing behind the airplane. How long did that last?
Sorry?
How long did the training, the actual shooting training last?
Oh, 3 or 4 weeks we were at Stiffig, I think, yes. Yes.
And was that a permanent camp?
We were in Nissenhuts there, yes. Very bleak there as well.
And it was that was a purely training unit again?
Yes, yes.
It wasn't an operational unit?
No, training unit, that's right, yes. Yes.
Before we go any further, who was commanding the regiment at this point in time?
Major Iliffe.
And did it still constitute a large number of the people that you'd originally joined with in the searchlight?
Yes, quite a lot of them, all the same, yes.
So
same officers and same ranks, yes.
When the training is finished, where did you go then?
Onto the south coast, yes.
What was your role there?
ADGB, Air Defence of Great Britain.
So, we were looking at the unit, weren't we? You would have a battery headquarters.
That's right.
And then your detachments were...
The battery headquarters and the troop headquarters, yes. And your detachment round.
And what was your role in this? What were you doing?
At the time, I was dispatch riding still. And then I went on a driver mechs course. And after that, I was on trucks, vehicles.
What kind of trucks?
Well, anything from a 1,500 weight Bedford to a 3-ton Leyland Retriever. They were six wheels. We didn't have many of those for very long, though. My favourite one was a 3-ton Bedford. The number... L-316-792.
One time, I think you said you went to Swansea. Was that before you went to South Coast or after?
After, yes. Worked our way through to Swansea. And we got as far as Landgroup Major, which was a big American... Air Force depot.
We had when you're on the south coast, did you get into action against enemy aircraft?
Oh yes, yes, yes. We We were with Brighton and Eastbourne and places like that, and we couldn't get the gun far enough down to engage the enemy coming in. They were coming in on the waves, up and over the towns. And
so that must have made it rather difficult.
Yes.
Do you recall any particular action that you were in on the south coast?
We didn't actually, not as far as I know, shoot any down. But we were there to drive them off.
And where were you stationed there?
Oh, anywhere. It tells it Eastbourne. No, Eastbourne, we were in a convent. Brighton, it tells on the front. Anywhere where we could be put up, we were there. Yeah, we had a gun sight, as I've stated, at Bridgend. That's in South Wales. As we went to Bridgend, the gun was already sighted. We took over from another battery, and we had a mule there to carry the ammunition and the rations up the mountain.
One gun sight was right on the top of...
Yes, above Bridge, and it was above an ammunition factory. Yes. That's right. And we also had a gun sight, which I was never out to, at Flatholme. That's in the middle of the Bristol Channel.
And was this an island in the middle?
This is an island called Flatholme in the middle of the Bristol Channel. Yes. Yeah.
Where were the other sites?
Yes. Oh, they were around Newport area, Usk, Newport, around those places, yes.
Did you get much activity there?
Not a lot. No, not a lot. No, it was reasonably quiet there, yes.
What period of time are we coming into now?
Sorry?
What time are we, what year was it when you were in Wales?
Oh, now that we get it on, then be 43, I would think, yes.
And have the units still retained the same people, or were they people moving out and people moving in?
Well, there were people moving out, perhaps ones who weren't up the medical, and there were new ones, what we used to call intakes, coming in, yes.
Where were they coming from? Have you any idea?
No. They were coming from training regiments somewhere, but I don't know where from, no.
What are the memories have you got of being in Wales? You've got your mule. Who was handling the mule? Evidently, it can be very...
Fortunately, the man who handled the mule was an ex, being a territorial unit, he was an ex Sunderland Corporation horseman, which fit in ideally. He could manage the mule nicely without any trouble. Yes.
I presume you wouldn't be able to get up to this site on your motorbike.
Oh no. He was the only boy that went up the mule. Yes.
To look at an individual Bofors gun site, can you describe the layout of the site?
Yes. Well, they were sandbagged around, of course. Some were dug in, others were on the just on the ground level. Yes.
And how many would be on that side? You have your gun crew of four. Who else would be there?
Well, you had your cook and your sergeant corporal, bombardier or lance bombardier in charge. Yes, a total of six, at the most seven.
And what was the officer situation? Did an officer command a number of gun sites?
The officers, there were two officers to each group. A full lieutenant and a second lieutenant, yes.
And they...
They seemed to change frequently. But the top ones, the majors and the colonel, they were there for quite a while.
Do you recall any of the younger officers?
Pardon?
Do Do you recall any of the younger officers that you had contact with?
Oh, yes. At the beginning, they were nearly all Sunderland officers, which in the territories, you see. There were solicitors and accountants and...
These would change, of course.
They would change as you went on, yes.
Were there any particularly good that stand out in your mind and that you got on well with?
Well, I got on reasonably well with them all. I think I mentioned the other day about an officer called, his name was Covell. I didn't quite finish what he used to say, but... He used to say, "Covell from the coast I am. CAVILL, all the boys wish me in hell."
the men that you were with, as you say, most of them had stayed on with you, but obviously they were changing. Had you any particular pals?
Yes, I had a friend from a pilot from York. He worked for Roundtree's. He was a character.
What was his name?
Eric Holmes. No. Yes, Eric Holmes, I think. It was Holmes, anyhow, yes. Yes. He was a mischievous boy.
Being in a quiet area and relatively little activity, did life get a bit boring?
Not really, no.
How did you keep yourselves occupied? Other than, of course, your duties that you had to do.
Well, I wasn't one for playing dominoes or cards. I never played a game of cards yet. I was more interested in looking off the vehicles, which... may sound strange, but I could fill my time in.
You didn't get involved in any sport or football, cricket or what have you?
No.
Relatively small units, weren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You could come together, the battery or the troops could come together, perhaps to go to a depot to shower or something like that. In Tunbridge Wells, we used to go down to the baths, down to the, I've forgotten the name, in Tunbridge Wells anyhow, yes.
And that was to the shower or in Sweden?
Yes, that was when we were at Southborough. Southborough is where we prepared to go abroad. The waterproofing of the vehicles, which had to be done correctly.
Before we come to that, did the Bofors guns or the battery work in the link to searchlight unit or something of that nature? Were you working together?
No, nothing to do with searchlights then. No.
So if an enemy aircraft came over, how were you able to spot him, particularly night, of course, obviously at night, how were you able to spot him and get under target if it was night time? Normally the searchlight would light it up.
Yes. Well, by then we had RT sets, yes. Target south or target whatever, yes.
And did radar come into it? Did radar assist?
Not as far as I know, no.
And how long were you in Wales?
Oh, well, perhaps only a few weeks.
And then you said
we were always on the move, yes. We did a lot of mobile training in the New Forest. We seemed to be always training.
You moved to Northumberland.
First you were in action, then you...
You moved to Northumberland next.
Yes.
What are your memories of being up there?
Oh, very rough. Very rough up there, yes. I think it was midwinter when we were there. I think I'm stated there. We were at Featherstone Castle, near Haldwistle, on the South Tyne River, which we often waded through. We were in Nissen Huts there, and when we were out And we knew after across the time. Well, we never knew when we were across the time. All we wore was our underpants, vests, denim, trousers, and tunic. The reason for that, was we had them all to dry around two stoves in each Nissen hut, preparing for the next day. It was really rough up there. Yes.
We didn't wear
what the Royal Signals and personnel like that wore. All we wore was our ordinary battle dress. We had a decent overcoat, ordinary overcoat first, and then they brought on the waterproofs. Yes.
Because he didn't have these, like, leather dispatch rider jackets?
Oh, no, nothing like that, no.
In Northumberland, were you still on lorries? You were on your lorries then, were you? On your wagons?
Lorries then, yes.
What kind of jobs might you be given to do?
Well, you had to change oils and things like that.
Maintenance,
yes. We once went to a depot, I've just forgotten where it was, to pick up two or three wagons. We were ferried to this, pick up two or three, I think it was 1,300 weights, 1,500 weights. We got one back, grinding. The rear axle had not been filled. That was from the Remy. So, of course, it was to hitch up and take back again.
So you would look after, you would maintain your vehicle to a certain level?
Yes.
Anything more serious than that, where would the vehicle go to?
Yes, you would have to go to Remy. Yes. But you maintained your own vehicles, which was no problem, really. You had your daily tasks to do. POW, petrol, oil and water. And then the tyres. I was once checked for having my tyres over pressure one evening. We'd been out on a scheme. An officer came round, very keen, checking. I was 11 pounds over pressure. Well, I said, it'll be all right in the morning. Oh, we'll see. So I got the sergeant to check the tyre pressure. Sure enough, it was 11 pounds over. I got him to come the next morning, it was correct. Tyres were warm, went down overnight, you see. He apologised, of course.
Do you recall any accidents when you were moving round in the trucks and your motorbike? Did anyone have any accidents? Were there any serious accidents?
No, well, not on the motorcycle, no.
Was it quite easy moving around the country in those days?
Oh, yes. As long as you knew you were around.
I suppose that you would move off, you know, when the whole unit was going, you'd move off in convoy.
That's right, yes.